to the barking, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and cracker jacks. I don't care if I never get back, and we'll root, root, root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame.
Wake up, Denver.
For it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ballgame.
You bet it is, my friend. This is Bo Mitchell, your host today. On You Get the Blessing, my co-host Bob Belts. Bob, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm excited about our guest today.
You ever heard any better music than that?
You know what? I actually think that could be the worst version of that song I've ever heard. You know, it just seems like guys ought to be singing that. Oh. I mean, I think that was for the, you know, the Women's World Series or
something. Let's ask our guest, Joe Garagiola. Joe, welcome.
Hey, thank you, Bo.
What about that version? You agree with Bob?
I won't completely agree with him, because I'm going to be like the guy in the middle, you know. I'm going to be 50-50, but I've heard that song so many times in so many different words, a couple different languages, that I'm almost immune to it.
Well, I can imagine. It's got to be in the thousands for you. And
oh, man.
For those of you that have been asleep or out of the world for the last 50 years, Joe Garagiola is a former Major League Baseball player with the St. Louis Cardinals, Pittsburgh Pirates, Chicago Cubs, New York Giants, played in the 40s and 50s, was much better player than he lets on. He's self-deprecating when it comes to discussing his Major League career, but he was a great, great athlete and a great advocate for the game of baseball. Wrote a book that I read a few years ago called Baseball's a Funny Game. Some of you may know him as the host of a number of game shows on NBC and the host of the Today Show from 1967 to 1973. I just know him as one of the greatest guys I've ever met. And, Joe, we are honored that you'd take the time to be on our program today.
Oh, don't be honored. I'm glad to talk to you. I hadn't talked to you for a while, and I've been kind of laid up here, and I'm feeling much better, and it's good to hear from good friends, and you're a good friend, and Bob is still on the bubble.
Hey, Joe, I don't want to tell you how young I am, but actually, I grew up in St. Louis, and as a kid, used to listen to you announcing the Cardinals games and Stan Musial's playing back in those days, and I remember you from a long time ago.
How many years did you play with Stan Musial, Joe?
I go back to him. I saw him in 42 when he was with Springfield, and then I went to Rochester, and then went to the Cardinals in September. I told my brother, I said, man, Cardinals are going to bring up a guy who got the funniest stands in the world, but he does nothing but hit line drive.
Stan could do it. And
oh.
You had a best friend growing up from the same neighborhood, who ended up being two of the great personalities and players in baseball history. But tell us about your friend.
You're talking about Yogi, of course.
Yogi Berra.
I tell people, let me tell you how famous Yogi is. You don't really have to say any more than say, I saw Yogi, and they know right away who it is. They know you're not waiting to talk to the president or Kissinger or somebody like that. You're talking to Yogi and are listening to him when he says something. He calls me all the time. Especially, I love him when he calls me on my birthday, because he's 9 months older than I am. And first words, well, except for last year when he sang Happy Birthday to me. You talk about a rendition that was really in a slump.
I hope you taped it so you can use it against him.
No, that would be obscene. It would be. He could be arrested for singing like that. But
One thing I love about you guys, and my only tie to Yogi, is that he was the catcher in Don Larsen's perfect game when my dad struck out to end the game. And I couldn't get the story out of Yogi, but Yogi said, you better ask Carmen, because the story was that when they announced Dale Mitchell, my father is a pinch hitter, that Yogi looked in the stands. His wife Carmen was pregnant, and he said to himself, if we get this guy out, I'm going to name it, and if we have a boy, because in those days they didn't let you know beforehand, but he said, if we get the guy out and we have a son, I'm going to name him Dale. So supposedly that's where Dale Berra got his name, but Yogi couldn't remember it. But what I was getting to is that when you guys are together, having been friends since you were kids, he defers to you, not because he can't handle the answer to the question or the situation, but it's just almost like you're his big brother and his mentor, and he'll say, he said to me 10 times, you should ask Joey that. And he calls you Joey, doesn't he?
He still calls me Joey. You know, when he gets on the phone, like the birthday thing, I heard, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you. You're catching up to me. I mean, that thing is dripping with cinnamon, right?
Yeah.
I said, okay, Yoke, I'm just glad you told me, because I'm telling you, I thought it was Pavarotti who was singing to me, and here it was you. And he said, oh, I don't sing that good. I said, no, you really don't. You really don't.
So,
but when we go out together, in fact, I don't particularly like to go out and make a public speech with him, because they'll ask Yogi questions, and he'll always say the same thing. Come on, Joey, you tell him. You know the story better than me. I said, but you did it.
Yeah.
You know, like he and I get the big, well, there's 100 of them, but we get a big kick out of it when he hit the fire plug in the wintertime. A lot of things that they got Yogi saying, he doesn't say. I mean, they make him sound like Ned in the Third Reader. He's as bright a guy as you ever want. He doesn't articulate, and he'll say things like when the writers would ask him, what do you think about that play, blah, blah, he'll say, hey, did you come to the game? You saw it, write it. You know, that kind of thing. But we were...
I don't know the fire plug story, Joe.
I'm going to tell you right now.
All right.
You know, when you talk about Yogi, you go off in 27 different directions. And every neighborhood, I don't know about your neighborhood, but every neighborhood on the hill, a guy had an old jalopy car, and the guys would always ride around. You couldn't buy a license, so you just rode around in the neighborhood, right?
Yep.
So Kenny Yost had the car, and it was Yogi's turn to drive, and he's driving. Now he hits the fire plug. And I mean, we got Old Faithful. It is going up 90 feet high. Cops are called. Everybody's there. And when it starts to settle down, I said, yo, what in the world happened? He said, oh, the horn didn't work. I said, what? The horn didn't work? What'd you expect? Blow the horn, the fire plug is going to move?
Oh, brother.
But, I mean, that's him.
Hey, if you just tuned in, everybody, this is You Get the Blessing. I'm Bo Mitchell. Bob Belts is my co-host, and our guest today is Joe Garagiola. And Joe, we try to have guests on the show every week that bless people just by who they are and the lives they've lived and what they're doing with their lives. And you, from the minute I met you at our first Teammates for Kids event, and we became friends, have been one of my favorites. So let's jump from Yogi to...
Wait, I got to give you one Yogi church story.
Okay, stay with it.
All right. Yogi is never late, absolutely never late. And we're playing in the Brian Gumbel golf tournament. And we had to go to the 6 o'clock mass, okay?
Okay.
And so we said, all right, Yogi, what time are we going to meet? 5:45, we'll make it. I said, okay. So as I go to my room, I said, I'm going to get down there first this time. I'm going to get down there first, and I'm going to say, where you been? Well, I get down there at 5:30, 15 minutes ahead of time, right?
Yeah.
Who's sitting in the lobby? A Yogi.
Why?
Well, he looks at me, and he says, you're late. I said, what do you mean I'm late? You said 5:45, it's 5:30, and I'm here, and you saying I'm late? He said, this is the earliest you ever been late. Now, you tell me what that means. The earliest I ever been late.
You know, I had one of those with him. I invited him out to our Teammates for Kids event for the second or third time. Actually, he was never going to come unless Joey brought him, and you did it, Joe. But I said, Yogi, this is Bo, and are you going to come to our event this year? And he said, maybe. He said, this one's later, isn't it? Because that other one was earlier. And I was thinking, what did he just say? But
well,
he just flows.
About,
flows
but Bo, with it. You agree with him, right?
Yeah, you have to kind of just go with it. But he's
you walk away from him, you take 5 steps, and you want to screw your head on one turn tighter because you know you heard it right, and it doesn't make sense. I mean, you know, the one about getting late early.
Oh yeah.
The ball went through his legs, and I was broadcasting that, and I go in the clubhouse. He's surrounded by all the writers, and they're all asking him, and we make eye contact. And boy, you don't BS your best friend. So he looks at me and he said, "I didn't miss that ball." I said, "You didn't miss it. You didn't catch it." He said, "Well, yeah. You ever play out there? You see, it really gets laid early out there."
Oh, I didn't know that was the source of that.
Oh yeah, that was everyone that he said to me. There's a source. The one about take the fork in the road. They forgot about it. Every Sunday we go to soccer game at Sportsman's Park and on Labadie Avenue and Easton in St. Louis. It's like a V, and we get about a block and a half. And the guys would be back then, and we'd be nudging each other, watching. And every Sunday it was the same thing. He said, I did the wrong thing, didn't I? And one Sunday he said, "I did the wrong thing, didn't I?" I said, "Yeah, you always do." He said, "Well, next time I see that fork in the road, I'm taking it." And we
now,
all
wait,
looked at
Joe,
each
don't,
other.
You got to stop. I want to talk about you, not Yogi anymore. Tell me about when you fell in love, because you have one of the great marriages I've ever seen.
Well, it's kind of a weird story. I was the hot shot in 46 in the World Series. And there was another thing. One last Yogi.
He likes these stories.
Well, when I was growing up, you've seen my quote. I say, when you go to the big leagues, usually the best player or you're all city or you're all high school or all that. I wasn't even the best player on my block.
Because of Yogi.
Yogi was there, and when they choose up sides, the last hand went up. They said, "I'll take Lottie." That's what we call it, because his mother couldn't say Lawrence. But anyhow.
Lottie?
Lottie. Lottie. Yeah, she's like a Lottie, Lottie. And we knew exactly who it was. And, Lord, I've got – you took me off the track.
Yeah, I want to hear about your marriage.
Oh, my marriage. So anyhow – a River and Pucci and a couple of guys were working at a roller rink, and I had finished the World Series, and they were saying some nice things about me, and I said, "Hey, you think I could play? Where do you see Yogi?" And I knew when he came to the big leagues. I mean, there's 100 stories about him in the big leagues, and we won't get into them. Okay.
Okay.
So anyhow, River says to me, "Hey, you got to come out and see the roller rink, because we tell everybody you're from the neighborhood," and they say, "Yeah, sure." I said, "All right, I'll come out there." So I had a date, and she was an ice skater, so I bring her out there, and Audrey is a professional organist, and she was playing at the best hotel in town, and she'd play at the roller rink. At that time, roller skating was really red hot, and so she walked by, and I said to Riv, "Who's that?" "That's the organist." I said, "Introduce me next time she comes down." So next, I hang around that way, and she comes down, and they introduce me. So when she went upstairs, I give River, I said, "Riv, take Ruth, that's the girl I brought to the rink. I said, take her down a far end. She likes to ice skate, and keep her down, or I want to put a move on this organist." And so anyhow, I asked if she wanted to go to the ball game, and she accepted it. And I thought, great, now we got something going here. Well, don't you know, she comes down the next time. I'm still there. And she says, "Oh, I have to tell you something. I can't go out with you." I said, "Why not? You don't like Italians?" And she says, "No, it has nothing to do with it, but I have to go bowling with my father." Uh-oh. I said, "That's the worst excuse I ever heard. You got to go bowling with your father." So she turned me down, but I pursued. And I got to tell you something, Bo. You know Audrey not as well as I do.
She's sweet.
During this whole time, because I was in a hospital practically a whole year, 2009 is just a memory for me. And if it wasn't for her, I was ready to go to the bullpen in the sky. I just couldn't take it anymore. I'd had two big major surgeries on this bald head. In fact, I got bumps in it right now, and I tell the guys, "Hey, you want to go bowling? Put your finger in here and your finger in the other one. Stick one in my ear, and I will go bowling."
How many years you been married, Joe, you and Audrey?
60. 6-0.
60. Congratulations. And I know that that part of your ability to love everybody as as much as you do, including me, which I appreciate, is rooted in your faith and your Catholic traditions. And Bob and I teach that, you know, what our show's about, faith in Christ, the Word of God, how it's not complicated, how God takes us just like we are, and He takes all kinds, and He loves us. And
no question, but let me tell you, the couple of things took me through this big ordeal I went through. Number one, I said, if God has another job for me, which I don't know, I'll be all right. So I got to think He's got another job for me.
Because you made it through.
My second one is my friend Fred Bauer, who writes for Guidepost, and I'm a big believer in Guidepost. My daughter writes for it, but Fred wrote a poem. He said, "Lord, teach me to know that every day down every street come chances to be God's hands and feet."
Ooh.
That's powerful. And all our kids down at the mission, that's the last prayer they say before they go on a bus, because they're scattered all over the place, and who knows what's going to happen.
Tell everybody about the mission real quick.
Well, the mission, it was nothing, and I went down to bring some baseballs down there and bats and stuff, and it started out, and I bought in with some speeches, and we ended up building a convent, and we ended up building a house, and we just finished outfitting the church. We put in a new floor and new pews instead of secondhand ones, and the doors are going to arrive next week, so we're going to have a new church. And I tell you, I changed the name of it. It's St. Peter Indian Mission, but I call it Our Lady of Quicksand. Once you're in it, you can't get out.
And you, Joe, are an angel to all those families out there, but a lot of people in tough situations there, huh?
Oh, real tough. I mean, I think the forgotten race are the Native Americans, because we take them for granted. Like at St. Peter's, they used to be farm people, and now they're sedentary because people have leased their land, they're grown, and the guys are sitting there. They need hope. They need hope, and that's what we try to give them. We didn't have any grass on the field. We got grass on the field. And I could have cried the day I went out there, and they have three games going, soccer, volleyball, and softball. We got lights. I did the Little League National Banquet, and I asked the guy for secondhand lights, and he asked what for, and I told him he sent new lights down. And just 3 weeks ago, he sends his guys down there because the warranty's about to be used up, and he wanted to make sure the lights were working. So I'm very happy with what's going on there, and the kids are great, you know. They don't know if I played baseball, bocce, or what. They just...
They know what I know, Joe, which is you have a love that absolutely is permeating every room that you enter. And, Bob, isn't that what we're supposed to be as God's people? Don't you, just knowing Joe a few minutes, feel what he's like?
You know, I knew there was something special about him when I was six and was listening to him on the radio. So this is it. See?
You keep trying to act like he's 100.
He is.
Hey, Bob. Hey, let me tell you something. I moved to a place called Sagewood, a retirement community. I had a guy who said he was 77 years old. And he watched me play as a kid.
Oh.
I said, wait a minute. I'm the only big leaguer that was 5 years old when I played in the big league.
Hey, Joe. Oh, man. Joe, these listeners are falling in love with you if they weren't already, but you got to tell them about bases loaded, full count, bottom of the ninth story, because that's one of your best ones.
Oh, that was the Cubs. Cavaretto. Kurt Simmons was pitching for the Phillies, and as I walked, and McCullough couldn't play, so they had to keep me in the game. It was mandatory. We had no other catcher. And so as I came up the steps out of the dugout, Cavaretto said, "The bases are loaded, and try to work him for a walk. If he wants a hit, you let him." If he wants to hit me, let him. And then so I'm up there, and I worked the count to 3-2. Three balls, two strikes, and I look down at Ray Blades, and he's giving me the take sign.
And you couldn't believe your eyes.
I got two strikes on me, and if I so I back out of the box, and I rub across my shirt. No, I don't get the sign. He gives it again. I rub it again. He finally hollers from third base, "Ask him," pointing to Cavaretto, "I'm the only player ever was up there, three balls and two strikes, and got a take sign. And I took it like a real Hall of Famer and was called out on strikes.
You gotta be making that story up.
No, well, I tell you, people think I make them up. How about the one when we're playing the Dodgers? And, you know, we didn't have the heavy bats in those days. You picked up extra bats and you swung them to make your bat feel lighter.
I remember that. You'd hold two or three bats in your hand.
Right, and you swing them, and then you take your bat and go up there. Well, I threw them all away. I got up to home plate. I don't have a bat. I said to Rube Walker. Rube was catching. I said, Rube, did you steal my bat? He started laughing. He said, no, and you got to go back and get another one.
Hey, tell me about your parents, Joe. Was that the end of that story?
Well, no, I just said I went back there and I did what you would expect me to do. I took another third strike and it was over.
Oh,
but I could have gone up there with a ballpoint pen and done the same thing, you know. But anyhow.
I was going to say, where did you get mom, dad, neighborhood? Where did you get the skills that God obviously has helped you develop? Because you are just a storyteller and friendly and a lover of people. And where did all that come from? Was that your mom or your dad?
Well, I think that God gave it to my mom and dad, and especially my mom, and it kind of rubbed off on me. But everything comes from God. Good. See, we have a second chance, God. I mean, you can never get God mad. His line is never busy. I mean, you think it's busy. Maybe the answer is no, but he's answering you, and that's where it comes from. I'm not that religious. Hey, I sit in the back of the church, and when people say, how come you sit in the back? I said, well, the candle smoke gets me. But
Yogi said to me, by the way, I just thought of another. He said, is there any way you can get me a first-class ticket to that? And I said, sure. He goes, I like first class. It's closer to the restroom.
That's right.
All right, buddy.
He's practical.
Yeah, whatever you
if
want.
If he Yogi. Walked into your studio right now, Bo, next time you see him, ask him what time it is. You know what he's going to say.
Oh, yeah. I've heard you say it. He's going to say, you mean now?
Yeah, and I say to him, no, I'm going to wait 15 minutes and then I'll subtract 15 minutes from the time. Sure now. What?
Okay, Joe, we only got a couple minutes. I'm going to play word association. I'm going to say a few words quickly to you, and you respond.
I'll give you a few words if possible.
Yes, sir. Okay, golden age of baseball.
I would say the 40s because it was the year I played, and I still admire those guys. Players of today, I went into a big league clubhouse, and they were flying motorized planes in the clubhouse. Believe it or not, honest to God. I couldn't believe it. I said, instead of worrying about getting a guy out there, worrying if their engine is going to die.
How about laughter?
Lobster?
Laughter. Laughter.
Oh, laughter is the best. You got to go for a laugh. Sadness will just, it's like throwing, I don't know, gloom. I don't like that. I like people that make you laugh, and I hate people that keep questioning you, you know, and don't believe anything.
Oh, yeah, I've had people say, Bo, when are you going to grow up? And I'll say, you know, if it means I have to act like you, I'm never going to grow up. But how about age?
Age? The birth certificate doesn't let you lie, but people look at me and say, you don't look 84. How old do I look? You look about 80. 4 years different. Come on.
Okay, what does love look like?
Love to me is when you do something for people. It's the epitome of what Muhammad Ali says. Helping people is the rent we pay for our time on earth.
Oof.
Great
good
quote.
Stuff. Well, listen, we only have a couple minutes left. Bob Belts, tell me what you think of my friend Joe.
Wait, did I ever tell you that I listened to
Shut
Joe?
Up.
Joe, it's a treat to be able to have you on the show with us. And
hey, Bob, I don't know if you're Catholic or what. I'm not even going to ask you, but I'm going to have a novena set for you.
Hey, listen, you know what? I was just going to say, you know, in the Presbyterian Church, we don't have that problem with the candles. You could sit right up front.
Yeah, I know, but you know what? You got to have candles going all the time. It's like when, wait, I told Joe Dugan, I win because I light candles. And Dugan said, and I can't get ahead. He said, well, light some candles. He did, and he went 0 for 5. He said, all right, God listens to you. He doesn't listen to me. He said, no, it wasn't God. He said, I stayed there and watched. when you lit those candles, as soon as you walked out, two gamblers blew them out.
Joe, I think we need a couple hours with you, but let me ask you to call me and tell me how Bob and I can get involved in helping you again, like we've done in the past with the mission there and the kids you're working with. And let me just tell you, you are a blessing to me as a friend. And I'm sorry we've been a little out of touch, but I love you and I love Audrey. And I'm glad you made it through your physical struggles. And I think God's got more for you.
I hope he has, because I'm looking forward to it. I want to be a 90-year-old guy going to the game.
All right. Well, thank you for everything you stand for and who you are, and all of us love you. Joe Garagiola, blessings to you.
Thanks for being on, Joe.
Thank you, Bob.
Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I never get back, and we'll root for the home team if they don't.